You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and a very warm welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast. Good to have you with us. We're looking ahead to Monday's action on this edition of the podcast, and a decent day of racing it promises to be on Monday. Some good races to start the week, which isn't always the case. Sam Norris joined here on the podcast by James Moman to take a look at Monday's action. How are you, James?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you, Sammy.
As I mentioned, they're right at the top. And we're going to discuss one of those listed races at Kempton a little bit later on in the piece. Good to have a smattering of quality on a Monday.
There is indeed, but runners-wise, Sammy, Kempton, obviously there's rumours that perhaps it could potentially shut down. I think they have kind of died down and such, but jump trainers don't really support the track that much. We've got a lot of very small fields there tomorrow. I know the ground is on the quick side, and Kempton as a whole, in the middle of winter, even the King George meeting is generally good to soft, wherever else would be soft, heavy in places and such. So the recent dry spell hasn't been great in that respect, and there's lots of options for quick ground horses, but really there should be more runners. There's always small fields, even on King George weekend. The races very rarely fill, having 18 runners as such around there, so that's disappointing. But no, it is good to have a little bit of quality midweek, and it's nice to see.
It's never until these rumours about closures rear their head until trainers announce how much they love the track. When Newcastle closed the turf track and you had trainers who hadn't had a run there for 5 years.
And look at Newcastle now. John Gosden will send newcomers there. Enable without parole, etc. A lot of areas, I think, around there. And yet, on the turf track, he very rarely ever sent a horse up there. So, people like to moan about change, whatever kind of change.
Yeah.
But Kempton does deserve a little bit more support.
Indeed. We're going to take a look back on some of Saturday's action as well. A really good day of racing on Saturday at both Ascot and Haydock. We'll start with the big race of the day, obviously Haydock's Betfair Chase. This was always going to be a cracking race. A stellar field had assembled. We obviously had the 1-2 in last year's Gold Cup. Former King George winning the shape of Thistlecrap. Bristol Demai, who took this race apart 12 months ago. And the youngster Clanders Oboe, who... obviously connections think a great deal about. It was the highest attendance at Haydock as well since 2005 for this day, which, you know, does just show, you know, we're trying to talk about getting more people into the sport. The existing fans will come when there's a quality lineup like this. Only five runners, but just before we get on to what actually happened in the race, people wanted to see Native River and Might Bite.
Definitely.
And Bristol Demai, Thistlecrack and Clanders Oboe.
Jumping in particular, you get people having their favourites coming back time after time. I think Native River gained a lot of fans last year with that Never Say Die win in the Gold Cup, and he's getting his own little following now. Might Bite also, who's perhaps a little bit of a character. Bristol Demai, the Haydock favourites would probably have been on him anyway. Three from three at the track going into the race, but it was the best British chasers you'd want to see that were in the race. And it's a fascinating racing prospect. I got it all wrong pre-race. I was against Bristol Demai. I thought the quicker ground would be against him. I wasn't sure what to make of last year's event where he won by 57 lengths because Q-Card didn't run out of form, neither did the opposition. The chaser spread time for the handicap afterwards wasn't that much worse, but I was wrong. The quicker ground, not a problem. He just loves the track, doesn't he? Afterwards, Nigel Neighbours was quoted as saying he's basically a hard horse to train. It's not just Haydock that was the reason why he was poor elsewhere last year, just that he wasn't right.
Okay.
So I think there's a few reasons why perhaps he might be better. Flat tracks does seem to be key. He's never really run very well at Cheltenham, and that's always going to be an issue for a Gold Cup. But King George, if he wasn't right last year, I think you can put a line through that. He was well below form. It wasn't just a change of track, it's a flat track. Once he gets into a rhythm, I thought the positive for the future, last year he had a pretty uncontested lead out in front, whereas this year he actually, for a brief minute on the first circuit, he was headed. I thought he might struggle. Yet he actually battled through it out and got in front and got into his own rhythm. So lots of positives to take out of that. If Nigel can keep him in top order, I definitely couldn't rule out success elsewhere, but you need to see it first, really.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously enhances his superb Haydock record, and as you say, James, has maybe proved that he's more than a mudlark as well. He doesn't need it hot deep to
Definitely. So like I say, I went for my bike. I was quite strong in him a couple of weeks before the race, and then when the ground got quicker and quicker compared to what it normally is at Haydock for that race, got it wrong.
Well worth talking about one or two of the other candidates, though, in the race. Native River we'll start with, who ended up finishing second, four lengths behind Bristol Demai. Obviously, plenty of people were talking about what Native River needs to do to try and get Mike Bide beat. And the general consensus was, given that staying is his real forte, people were saying he should go out and try and make this a real stamina test, but could never really get the lead and try and dictate in the way that Richard Johnson may have wanted to. That could be because he's not quick enough to do that and to try and force it from the front. But were you surprised that they didn't make more of an effort to try and lead them and make it a test for some of those whose stamina is not in question as such, but certainly not as proven as Native River's?
Well, for me, Native River's whole season is going to be geared to winning a Gold Cup. November, yes, there's a £1 million bonus, but Haydock was never really going to be his ideal track. He was never going to be at his peak today. Bristol Demai was always going to be at his peak for
very good point.
That race, because it's where he's so effective at. Whereas for me, Native River, they would have loved to have won the race. He probably went there, I imagine, 90% ready for me. And that's why I think Rich Johnson wasn't as positive as he can be. At Cheltenham, he knew he was spot on and he could run those fractions and really give him a hard race. I think they knew that he probably wasn't quite at his peak, which he is not going to be. First run of the season, it's a long year. Cheltenham is always going to be his main aim. And he often gets beaten in his first run of the season as well. 2 years ago, he got beat in the West Yorkshire Hurdle at Weatherby before he went on to win the Hennessy. He did win the Denman at Newbury, but that was back in February and it wasn't a particularly strong race. He outbattled Cloudy Dream, which a lot of horses do. I think even in Novice Chase campaign, he got beat at Chepstow first time before going to Exeter to win. So with him, generally, that first run's needed. It's never a peak performance, whereas Bristol and May, we know he goes well fresh at this time of year. So I was happy with Nate River. He ran how I expect him to run. I never thought Haydock was going to be his main aim. I actually thought Fistocrat was probably beforehand the best of the Tizard. Due in the race, he ran well, much better than what he did 12 months ago at Newbury when he returned after the injury behind Beer Goals. Look how much he stepped up on that for the King George. It was only actually five lengths behind Mike Bite. So I think the Tizards will be pleased with both their horses as long as Fistocrat comes out of that okay. He really stayed on nicely at the end, down the back straight after all Fistocrat's in trouble, and he's not going to get involved. And he wasn't beaten very far. So both of those are run well. Clanderzabeau, the six-year-old, Nichols was hoping that he might make the step up from what he showed last year. He was ridden nice and quietly to try and get the best possible place, and he's a little bit below that level, I think, at the moment. But he is only six, so there's still time for him to improve, but he's not quite at that level. And then we got Mike Bite. What happened?
The big disappointment of the race, Mike Bite, by some way. Obviously, the fences were slightly different at Haydock yesterday. Is there anything in that? It's the same fences for all the horses, I suppose.
It is the same for all of them. Now, Haydock back in the day was renowned for being a very, very tough jumping test. Portable fences came in, and they've generally been regarded as a little bit easy. So I think the team at Haydock wanted to reboot that and get some sturdier fences. They probably went a little bit the other way. The first race we saw, experienced 3.5 mile handicap chasers, they found it really hard. I think 5 of the 20 ended up either falling or unseating at Haydock yesterday. But it was the same for all of them. Mike Bite hit the first wrong. It never really travelled for me thereafter. Nico was always free wide, and then he stopped very, very quickly. Now, I wouldn't be surprised if a little wind operation happens to Mike Bite. If so, it would mean there'd be a doubt for the King George, and could then that drag in out to your main Andy Holding? We're on Racing Radio on Saturday evening, and we thought that might be an option, perhaps. I can't see Altior ever taking on Mike Bite in a King George, but if Nicky's not got a runner, who knows? But very, very disappointing. Too bad to be true.
Yes.
You've got to write it off. A few people might think, oh, Scorpion, he may never reach the peaks of last year. I think it's very early to be saying stuff like that. He's still a very, very decent horse, but who knows? There's a question mark to answer.
Got a bit of a terrible record with staying chasers, though, as a sire, Scorpion. Yeah. Don't think too many of. I mean, there aren't that many races over the extended 3 miles, particularly at the top level. But I don't think he's sired all that many.
There is that possibility. Look, a few people after the Gold Cup last year thought you'll never win a Gold Cup, like a Wayward Lad or Desert Orchid. That the hill might always, or one man, the hill might always be a little bit too much for him. But I was a little bit unsure. I felt quicker ground, he would have beaten Native River. Now, maybe not so sure. But whatever happened, it wasn't his true showing yesterday. He wouldn't have won it the bare 3 miles yesterday.
Yes.
So we've got a bit of line through it. But yes, it concerns the Scorpion. How's he going to come back from this?
More questions than answers, definitely, as regards Mike Bite on Saturday. Over at Ascot, the big race of the day there was obviously the 1965 chase won by Politolog, who took that one by half a length to Charbel, with Gold Present back in third place. Politolog is a horse that, I suppose, really took advantage of the lack of Altior last year to win a lot of the premier 2 mile chase events, whilst Altior wasn't there.
We're a little bit like yesterday when the top ones aren't there,
he's there to pick up the pieces,
every single time. He does idle in front, so it's sometimes hard to really gauge the level he could achieve. He jumped extremely well. Paul felt he got to the front a little bit too soon, was idling, which is why Charbel got so close to him. He was given the penalty away, given £6 away, beating him half length, so that's around about £7 better performance. Dan Charbel, he's possibly going for the King George, and as Paul Nicholls said in his interview afterwards, he doesn't know if he's going to stay because he shows a lot of speed. Yesterday he looked like he'd be fine over 2 mile, but the true 2 mile, as he just gets found out, and I think 2.5 is probably his best trip actually. Maybe the Ryanair would be the option for him at Cheltenham. I don't see any harm in giving it a go in the King George. I'd run him there. Clanders of O showed yesterday he's not quite good enough at the moment, so that's one of Paul's ruled out. Frodon's going to be in the race. Realistically, he might not be good enough. So they're not going to have nothing to lose by giving it a go. The flat track at Kempton should suit him.
There's plenty that we could discuss on Saturday, but I don't want to spend all day on it. It's just one of the horse I want to pick your brains about, and that was If the Cat Fits, who won the Ascot Hurdle, the race preceding that Politolog race. An interesting race. I'm trying not to call it an enterprising ride from Thomas Garner on Raven Black.
He always does.
Because everyone says enterprising, but Raven Black at one point looked as though he was going to pinch it from the front. In the end, has been mown down by If the Cat Fits and Old Guard.
But what were the jockeys doing at Ascot yesterday, Sammy? Outside, wide track.
You tell
outside,
me.
That's where he wanted to be, on the hurdle track. Noel Feely, a few brain cells there. He came stand side every single time. Three winners.
Yeah.
A lot of the other jockeys stayed centre of the track where the ground was very, very cut up. That seemed to make a bit of a difference. If the Cat Fits wasn't travelling that well on the back, he was probably, out of the first four, was the first one beat as such. Yet Noel brought him across to the better ground. He found his feet from the last hurdle and ended up winning quite convincingly. Was that a champion hurdle performance? Not particularly for me. Old Guard, lovely horse. Bryony gets a good tune out of him. He's run another good race. Having run in the Greatwood just last week. And Rain Black, he steals a lead. He steals a lead quite often, and he wasn't beaten that far. I didn't think the form's that strong, but I thought Noel Feely just showed some enterprise again. But what were the other jockeys doing? Stanside was the place to be at Ascot yesterday, and he was the only real jockey to explore that, and he had three winners.
Yeah, so it's a very good point. That's not something I'd picked up on. We're going to know more about the champion hurdle picture after Newcastle, of course, coming up.
Yeah, these won't
on
be
Saturday. Yeah,
no chance.
Okay,
Sam Crow, Bivy there.
Yeah,
even Summerhill Boy, they would definitely be a trio that ahead of what we saw at Ascot yesterday.
Okay, let's turn our attention then on to Monday's racing. We've got a couple of races to take a look at. As I say, it's a decent day's racing, Kempton being the highlight, but not bad cards at Ludlow and Musselburgh as well. We start at Ludlow with the 105 and novices handicap chase for us first of all. Got seven runners down to contest this one. As is always the case at Ludlow, James, decent prize money offer. They haven't always been rewarded with field sizes over the course of the years. There are seven in this one, but as we know, novice chases are the least likely races to fill up, I suppose. What did you like in this one?
Well, again, Ludlow, it's quite a free draining track. It can get quite quick. And you do actually cross two roads, which for me, as a racetrack, running a nice horse there, I'm not entirely sure, but yeah, the prize money they put up is pretty amazing, and this one, it's been ruled a decent field. I like the Paul Nicholls horse here. Hugo's horse, who has only had the two runs on the rules in novice company, straight over fences, straight into a handicap, given a mark of 100 on the back of two runs at Kempton and Exeter, 4 for 4 behind Hidden Glen and 3rd to 5 behind Cotswold Way. So we've actually beaten two horses in those races, but the RPR was 103 on both occasions. Handicapper said 100, so he's underestimated perhaps the form, and he was a point to pointer. He won his last point to point back in April when a 6-4 on favourite. He's running in some quite famous colours, straight into fences into handicap company. He's the type to improve quite nicely, and I think he could be very, very well handicapped. Watch the market, that'll probably tell you plenty early on in the morning as to how strong the Nichols team fancy him. But I thought he was an eye catcher, just had the two runs, got a mark, straight into handicap company, straight over fences. So I thought he was very, very interesting. Obviously, one that's got a lot of form is Ian Williams, runner over fences. That will be key. Fences take a bit of jumping for novices. He doesn't win very often, but on four of his last five starts, he's finished second and third on four occasions. So he's always there or thereabouts. Handicap has given him a bit of a chance. He's dropped £5 in his last six starts. He's the solid one, but I think Hugo's horse could be very well handicapped. So that's the choice in the 105 at Ludlow, Sammy.
Hugo's horse there at Ludlow. On to Kempton for what's probably going to be the feature race of the day, a listed mare's hurdle over the 3-mile trip. Just the four of them line up for this one. Culture de Sivilla, If You Say Run, Maya Storm, and What De Jazz are those four. It's not a bad little race, to be fair, James, but there is a standout candidate.
Yes, and that's Maya Storm, who unfortunately had a bit of a fortunate spell where the fences fell in the Cato Star when Black Horton got Bryony the Grade 1 success, and then fell again at the Scottish National Meeting behind Big Martyr. She was favourite on both occasions. They brung her back over hurdles, I think, just to get a bit of confidence behind her, and she won very nicely at Toxteth off a mark of 1.42, now officially rated 1.48, into an open listed race for the mares over hurdles. She's got £8 in hand from If You Say Run, the Paul Nichols runner who won at Wincanton last time out, £16 in hand of Culture de Sivilla, and £20 in hand of What's the Jazz, and I think she's better than her mark as well. She's rated 1.49 in the chasing sphere. I think she's got a very, very, very good chance tomorrow. Probably going to be a very short price, although the Paul Nichols angle of If You Say Run, that might just be a little bit skinnier than perhaps what it should be. It won at Wincanton the last time out, but Maya Storm, a very, very confident section in the feature race tomorrow, and probably one to double up with the Paul Nichols Hugo's horse, and that might be the angle I'll be going for the bets tomorrow, because Maya Storm will be pretty skinny, but I'll be very shocked if she got beat.
Good stuff. Thank you very much to James Millman then for his thoughts on Monday's racing. Got Kempton, Ludlow and Musselburgh for you to enjoy on Racing Radio. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. James, a pleasure as always. Thank you and best of luck.
No problem.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.